everyone, and welcome to the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C., where we will be discussing the last week's events, especially one Sarah Palin, who just about 3 weeks ago no one ever heard of, at least most people outside of the state of Alaska never heard of her, but she has really come on like gangbusters, but probably not for the reasons the Republican Party want her to be well known for. To all the folks who are listening in Houston, you know, glad it wasn't worse than it was. It was a powerful storm, did a lot of damage, but fortunately we don't see anything like what happened after Katrina in New Orleans from the initial estimates. Nothing to the numbers of deaths, which is very, very fortunate for the people of Houston. And can you imagine there's still people in Houston who were evacuated from New Orleans? So I guess this is a risk you run if you're going to live on the Gulf of Mexico, especially during these times of more and more destructive hurricanes and storms and whatnot. Anyway, we'll talk also about what's happening south of the border of the United States. Latin America is just up in arms with this country, meddling U.S. ambassadors all over the South America and Central America. We'll talk about what's going on to the south and what I call progressive America. Unlike this country, they're opening up their secret police archives for public perusal these days in Latin America after years and years and years of fascist dictatorships, of course, all of them supported by our country. Now we see the disinfectant of sunshine all throughout Latin America, the heinous activities of these military juntas that were imposed on people in Latin America are now finally being exposed. And what is the United States' reaction to that? We're trying to overthrow these democratically elected governments, trying to get parts of their countries to secede, sort of like what Sarah Palin wanted to do in Alaska, secede. You know, we'll talk about her Alaska Independence Party a little bit later in the program. But before I go on, if you'd like to call the program, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We'll talk about the issues I've already mentioned. And I also, another thing that I will be harping on probably from now until November 4th, I think the fix is in, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to steal this election, too. The word from Ohio, from Eastern Tennessee, from Alabama, from California, from all around the country, is election theft is still a problem. But after stealing the election in 2000, stealing the election in 2004, stealing Senate elections in 2002, 2004, and 2006, and House races were stolen, what we're seeing now is basically the Republicans have gotten better at what they're doing. It's going to be a lot harder this year to catch them in the act. We saw the telltale signs. But anyway, we'll talk about those issues after we come back with this from this short break. This is Wayne Mattson. It's 5 after the hour. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. And before the break, I was mentioning my fear that we're going to see another election theft. Now let me set the stage for you. Gasoline prices in Florida are now nearing $6 a gallon. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two private, really private entities, although, the, you know, there's government, some government connections. Two private entities that guarantee mortgages in this country are holding $5.5 trillion in mortgages, and they have basically gone bankrupt. The government had to take them back over. Smaller banks around the country are collapsing. United States is threatening military action against Russia, a return to the Cold War, and the polls are showing that John McCain and this idiot Sarah Palin are leading. That is a sure sign that the election is going to be stolen. The perceptions are being set right now, as I speak. The perceptions are being set about this stolen election. Now here's another clue. Another clue that John McCain, Sarah Palin, and the Republican operatives and these neocons that don't give one whit about democracy in this country. Understand neocons. People like Bill Kristol and Podoritz and these other people, their fathers and grandfathers were ardent Stalinists. And we all know what Joe Stalin said. It's not who votes and who doesn't vote. It's who counts the votes that matter. And in this election, just like in the last one, these individuals, these people, this filth, are going to be counting the votes. And, of course, you know, the outcome is, we know what the outcome is. Now, John McCain, I've lived in this town for a long time. I've covered politics. Even before I lived in Washington, I covered politics in the United States. John McCain, this past week, named the head of his transition team. I have never, ever witnessed anyone naming the head of their transition team until after the election. That tells me a lot. That tells me that John McCain is not only arrogant, which he is, he's as arrogant as he is stupid, and he's senile. He's a senile, sick old man. And how could this guy be leading 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 percentage points against whatever you think of Barack Obama or Joe Biden? It doesn't matter. These two individuals are much more qualified to be president and vice president of the United States. I have my issues with both of them, but they're certainly more qualified to be president and vice president of the United States than John McCain, who's almost in a pine box, and Sarah Palin, who basically has the IQ of a pine box. It's incredible. So McCain names this guy Timmons, who's an old Republican lobbyist, going back to the days of Richard Nixon as the head of his transition team. So much for McCain wanting to get rid of the lobbyists in Washington when he names this guy Timmons was considered to be so skanky and corrupt that even Reagan, the Reagan administration, had problems in dealing with him when they came into office in 1981, because this guy Timmons had been involved in so many suspicious deals with the American Petroleum Institute, the lobbyists for the oil industry, and a whole bunch of other unsavory types. But anyway, that's who McCain has named as the head of his transition team. McCain thinks he's won the election. That's the only reason he's done this. And now, speaking of Sarah Palin, I wanted to play a clip of her in this interview she had with Charlie Gibson. You know, Charlie Gibson, he isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer either. But he asked Palin what she thought of the Bush Doctrine. Now, we all know what the Bush Doctrine is. That got us into Iraq, may get us into Iran. That's preemptive strikes by the United States. That was the policy of Adolf Hitler when he hit Poland in 1939. That's what the Bush Doctrine is. It's a neocon precept principle. But let's listen to what Sarah Palin, her response was to Charlie Gibson when he asked her what she thought about the Bush Doctrine. If we have this clip ready to go. Perhaps not. Anyway.
Do you agree with the Bush Doctrine?
Here we go.
In what respect, Charlie?
The Bush... Well, what do you interpret it to be?
His worldview?
No, the Bush Doctrine, enunciated September 2002, before the Iraq War.
I believe that what President Bush has attempted to do is rid this world of Islamic extremism, terrorists who are hell-bent on destroying our nation. There have been blunders along the way, though. There have been mistakes made. And with new leadership, and that's the beauty of American elections, of course, and democracy, is with new leadership comes opportunity to do things better.
The Bush Doctrine, as I understand it, is that we have the right of anticipatory self-defense, that we have the right to a preemptive strike against any other country that we think is going to attack us. Do you agree with that?
Totally. If there is legitimate and enough intelligence that tells us that a strike is imminent against American people, we have every right to defend our country.
Do we have the right to be making cross-border attacks into Pakistan from Afghanistan, with or without the approval of the Pakistani government?
As for our right to invade, we're going to work with these countries, building new relationships, working with existing allies, but forging new also, in order to, Charlie, get to a point in this world where war is not going to be a first option. In fact, war has got to be, and military strike, a last option.
But Governor, I'm asking you, we have the right, in your mind, to go across the border with or without the approval of the Pakistani government?
In order to stop Islamic extremists, those terrorists who would seek to destroy America and our allies, we must do whatever it takes, and we must not blink, Charlie, in making those tough decisions of where we go and even who we target.
And let me finish with this. I get lost in a blizzard of words there. Is that a yes, that you think we have the right to go across the border with or without the approval of the Pakistani government to go after terrorists who are in the Waziristan area?
I believe that America has to exercise all options in order to stop the terrorists who are hell-bent on destroying America and our allies. We have got to have all options out there on the table.
Well, there you have it. Charlie Gibson said he got lost in a blizzard of words. Actually, Charlie, as she said, Charlie, to what extent, Charlie? I mean, I can't put up with this woman for 4 years. She'll wind up as president because McCain is half dead. But anyway, Charlie Gibson wasn't lost in a blizzard of words. He was lost in a blizzard of neocon claptrap. Islamic terrorist, blah, 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 blah. This sounds like Joe Lieberman wearing a dress and high heels. I mean, that's what we're hearing from this Sarah Palin. She's just basically an echo chamber, a total echo chamber for the neocons, for the Bill Kristols. By the way, Bill Kristol, not to be confused with the great comedian Billy Kristol, that nitwit Bill Kristol who's always on Fox News and puts out a magazine that no one will pay money for, the Weekly Standard, which is a Rupert Murdoch, dish rag. He thinks that Palin is the greatest. Of course he thinks Palin is the greatest, because Palin will echo every neocon talking point written from Washington, D.C. to Tel Aviv to Jerusalem without even batting an eye, an eyelash. I mean, this is what she's a puppet. She's not as intelligent as a sock puppet. And I never thought I'd say that if she becomes president, we'll all be looking back at the good old days. I swear I never thought I'd say this, the good old days of George W. Bush. And I never thought that was possible. Of course, at one point in time, I never thought I'd be wishing for the good old days of Richard Milhouse Nixon. But after 8 years of George W. Bush and Richard Bruce Cheney, yes, I kind of miss Nixon. And I was no great fan of Richard Nixon. But that is how far the goalpost is being moved in this country. And it's I think it just says an awful lot about where we're heading. In the United States, we're in a lot of trouble, and these polls they're contrived. They are not real. Don't believe anything you see on television, on these talking head programs, these 24/7 news channels. They control the polls. They control the news content. They control the message. They control the censorship. They're just like the old TV program, The Outer Limits. When you turn that on and watch them, they're controlling everything. The horizontal, the vertical. They're controlling you, and they're trying to control your thoughts, your political ideas. And I just think it's time to the great movie Network with Peter, the great Peter Finch, where he played Howard Beale, an anchorman, news anchorman who saw where TV was going into the trash can, and he said, you know, go to your window, put your head outside and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. It's just too bad that everybody's, you know, they're switching over to this digital television broadcast. I think everybody ought to take their televisions and throw them. Well, we don't want to pollute the environment, but throw them somewhere in a landfill, because that screen that we all have in our homes is something that only George Orwell could not have contemplated. And he came up with the notion of telescreens in 1984, but this is way more insidious than even Orwell thought of. This is Wayne Mattson with the Saturday Roundup, Wayne Mattson Report. We will be back with you right after this break.
Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. And the toll-free number, if you'd like to call in, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Here on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, it's 23 after the hour. And before the break, I was also mentioning, the neocons, they should be leaving town here. I have a bad feeling, of course, and all the indications are they're planning another election theft. And from U.S. foreign policy right now, it doesn't even look like there's going to be a change to people around the world. And they are getting frustrated. And they are so frustrated, heads of state and diplomats are using the most unbelievable language in talking about what's going on. I really believe they see another 4 years in the United States of a neocon administration, a McCain and Palin, and all the idiots they're going to put in their cabinet. And look, folks, there's also they're going to be appointing Supreme Court justices. That'll lock up the Supreme Court with nuts like John Roberts and Sammy the Snake Alito and Clarence Slappy Thomas for I don't know how many more years, long after most of our lifetimes. They'll still have the Supreme Court in their hands that will always abide by the idea of the fascist unitary executive, the idea that the Congress is merely a rubber stamp or a body and should have no power. That is fascism. You can put a capital F on it. You can keep it a small F, but it's fascism nevertheless. Let's play this clip. This is Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez. Now, to set the stage for this past week, Bolivia's President Evo Morales kicked out the U.S. ambassador. U.S. Ambassador Philip Goldberg has been going around stirring up insurrection in Bolivia, getting four different provinces to launch autonomy movements. He has his fingerprints on acts of terrorism. On 9/11, a gas pipeline was blown up from Bolivia to Brazil. The security people in Bolivia said the U.S. was behind it. So here you have a U.S. ambassador involving himself in this kind of activity. Evo Morales declared him persona non grata. I'm surprised he didn't have him put up against a wall and shot for that kind of behavior. And so Philip Goldberg is expelled. At the same time, Hugo Chavez, who survived a U.S. backed coup in 2002, says once again he found evidence that the U.S. was trying to overthrow him. He declared the U.S. ambassador there, Patrick Duddy, yes, D-U-D-D-Y, Duddy, he declared him persona non grata. the U.S. State Department, there's this really snotty spokesman named Sean McCormick. This is the guy that said, oh, if Russia wants to send ships to the Caribbean, sure, they're welcome to, if they have any that can make it that far. Ha, 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 ha. See, what I'm talking about, this kind of snotty behavior by the Bush administration is starting to wear thin on other people. Now, Chavez had something interesting to say, and if we have that clip, this is in Spanish. I will translate this for you, but listen to Hugo Chavez speaking to many, many thousands of people in Caracas.
Tiene 72 horas el embajador para abandonar territorio venezolano. Y de inmediato, señor canciller Maduro, de inmediato mande por nuestro embajador antes que lo echen de allá, que se venga de una vez. Nuestro embajador, el gran compañero Bernardo Álvarez, que regrese a la patria. Cuando haya un nuevo gobierno en Estados Unidos, mandaremos un embajador. Un gobierno que respete a los pueblos de América Latina. A la América de Simón Bolívar, carajo. Váyanse al carajo, yanquis de mierda, que aquí hay un pueblo digno.
You tell him, Hugo, what Hugo Chavez was saying when he kicked out the he's announced he was kicking out the American ambassador, in solidarity with Evo Morales, the president of Brazil, but also because the U.S. ambassador in Venezuela had once again gotten his hand caught in the coup d'etat cookie jar in Venezuela. He basically said, that Yankees can go to hell, and he said that the United States was full of you know what. Yes, he used the word. That was Hugo Chavez from Caracas. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov from Moscow had a conversation with Britain's Foreign Secretary David Miliband. This guy, he may be Labour. He's about as Labour as Tony Blair. He's laborious. He's not Labour. He's a neocon. He takes all of his talking points from the neocons. David Miliband was lecturing him, but we'll play this next clip after we take a break, because you got to understand that people around the world who are diplomats and heads of state have had it with this country and had it with our little stool pigeons like David Miliband who do their dirty work. It's an amazing thing that's going on around the world, because it's a clue that people in governments in Venezuela and Bolivia and Russia, Russia, they're had it with this country. And we'll be back with you to talk about this right after this break. Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report. We'll talk to you after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Oh, Wayne Matson here with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. Welcome back. Before we go to the telephones, I want to play this other clip. This is a news report, and it's in Russian. It's from a Russian TV network. Believe it or not, I may be mispronouncing it, but it looks like it's Cursor with a K, but Cursor, and that'll become very apparent why I think that's rather ironic after we play this, just a short segment of this next clip. This is a reporter in Moscow reporting on a telephone conversation between Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and this neocon lickspittle Foreign Secretary of Britain David Miliband. If we can play at least a little bit of that, and I'll translate what this guy's saying.
Сзади меня находится выстроено новое здание английского внешнеполитического ведомства и здание Министерства иностранных дел Российской Федерации. Сегодняшний наш сюжет посвящен событию, которое не освещено широко в прессе. Тому, как Сергей Лавров послал министра Великобритании Милибенда на 4 буквы, так называемые слова на букву F. Политический обозреватель британской газеты The Daily Telegraph Эндрю Портер в своем блоге редактора поведал миру об удивительном телефонном разговоре между министром иностранных дел России Сергеем Лавровым и главой британского Foreign Office МИДа Великобритании Дэвидом Миллибандом. Их беседа поражает своей недипломатичностью, как сообщает источник.
We could probably leave the rest of it, but essentially what this reporter, Russian reporter, is talking about is there was a phone conversation between British Foreign Secretary Miliband and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Now, understand, Miliband, just like Dick Cheney recently, Miliband went into Ukraine, went to Georgia, was stirring up all kinds of problems for Russia. Now, also keep in mind, Miliband and the British government is hosting several wanted criminals in London, like Boris Berezovsky and others, wanted terrorists, wanted criminals. Russia's got Interpol arrest warrants out for these people. These people have been funding terrorist operations and insurrection, just like what Chavez is complaining about in Venezuela, Morales is complaining about in Bolivia, Correa is complaining about in Ecuador. This is what's going on out of Britain. And what this reporter is saying is that Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, who is a very accomplished diplomat, with a lot of experience, told Miliband, "Are you effing lecturing me?" That kind of language now indicates how bad things are internationally right now. Not just with the economy, but just with diplomacy, lack thereof. And when you see a financial crisis like this, and you see people getting that irritated, that is the recipe, and we've seen it time in and time out in the past, that is a recipe for a major, major war. And there's enough information now about U.S. possibly going into Iran. Sarah Palin, the moron from Alaska, said that if Russia invaded one more country, we'd have no other choice but to go to war with Russia. Well, Sarah, that's called nuclear war, and maybe you want to sacrifice Alaska. Maybe it's worth sacrificing Alaska, but please don't talk for the lower 48. We don't really like the idea of sacrificing where we live. If you want to sacrifice your state, that's fine. You know, it's terrible for the wildlife, of course, and the few Democrats in Alaska. Unfortunately, they haven't had a statewide victor in an election since Senator Mike Gravel, and that was a long, long time ago. But anyway, that is a very bad combination to see this irritation worldwide, but heads of state using that kind of language, foreign ministers, heads of government, it tells you that they've had it, and I agree with them. I agree with Hugo Chavez. I agree with Sergei Lavrov. I've had it with these neocons up to my neck and even way above my head for a number of years now. Let's go to Ruth, who's calling in from Illinois. Ruth, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. Got a couple of comments.
I just realized
that if they want to invade Pakistan, they're trying to create an insurrection there because Musharraf is still alive and healthy, and he's one of the few that knows where most of the bones are buried.
That's right. He's right out of the ISI, Inter Service Intelligence Agency, which is basically the CIA in Pakistan.
Right, and they worked with our CIA on 911. But he knows where the bones are buried.
That's right.
Lavrov of Russia, he's hysterical. But he's very mild compared to what I've heard Putin is. Putin is the one is very colorful language.
Oh, yes, and Putin and the president, Dmitry Medvedev, the Russians are just apoplectic now. Missile bases in Poland, missile installations in the Czech Republic. There's talk about expanding these even further into Lithuania and maybe even Ukraine. There's talk about another radar base going into Israel. Israel, a secret radar base. Well, it was in a couple of newspapers, so I guess it's not secret anymore. But, you know, it looks like they're going after Russia. They're going after Iran. They're going after Bolivia, Venezuela. I like to know, where are they getting the military to take on all these operations? Because these operations could result in open warfare. I would just hope that American troops everywhere, sailors, airmen, soldiers, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen would just say, no, we're not going to carry out your orders. You know, stand down on the ships, stand down on the Air Force bases, stand down in the military units, take the keys out of the control panels at the ICBM bases, and just say, no, go on strike, essentially. It's what happened with the Bolshevik Revolution, and it overthrew the Shah, and I think the same thing needs to start happening here.
That's true, but I think they're desperate. They're pulling every string they can, anything to keep from having a presidential election. They got two choices, either start a war or have a financial crash.
Or both. And it looks like
and
we're
all
seeing
of this, all right. of this before November 4th, with all of the hurricanes that, you know, there's another hurricane on the way named Josephine.
Right, right. And
There could be hurricanes all over on Election Day. You know what that'll do to poll registration?
There could be. And Michael Chertoff, of course, the capo, I call him, Capo Chertoff, will declare some sort of national emergency and tell people they're not allowed to stand in groups of more than four. So what does that do for the people that have to wait in line to vote, like we saw in Ohio?
There's already a law in Chicago. You can't more than three on a street or a street corner is against the law. That's been
right.
on the books for years. They only use it when they, you know, want to hassle somebody.
And I heard from somebody who covered the GOP convention in St. Paul. It was a virtual armed camp. There was tear gas in the air. They used rubber bullets. There was just so many security checks of reporters. They went through notebooks. They went through, you know, all kinds of things I consider to be protected by the First Amendment, especially as a reporter. But they just had a field day up there, these thugs with the Secret Service. And believe it or not, to get into the Excel Center, who did they use to do all the checking of delegates and journalists and other guests? TSA personnel. I mean, where does it say that you use TSA personnel? It's one thing to get on an airplane, but to go into a national convention? I mean,
I thought they were using the Secret Service.
They were using Secret Service. Secret Service was in charge, but TSA personnel were the ones with the wands and going through the bags and whatnot. I mean, is that what we're paying these people for, to shake people down, to exercise their democratic rights to pick a presidential, vice presidential nominee and vote on party platforms?
I hear there's a lot of unhappiness with them fondling the ladies at airports.
Oh, that's been going on for a long time. I talk to people and I ask them, if they steal this election, what are you going to do? That, well, they can't steal it. We're going to go to Congress. And my response is, how has that worked for you so far? Are you happy the way Congress responded in 2000 and 2004 and even with the fraud in 2002 and 2006? And they said, well, we want... I said, John Conyers is totally ineffective. Forget John Conyers. They've got more stuff on this guy Conyers. I mean, this guy is so unethical, and he's involved in so many scandals. They've got this sword of Damocles holding it over John Conyers' head. But I often think back at what people did in Nazi-occupied Europe, in France, in Belgium, in the Netherlands, in Denmark, in Norway, and all the other countries occupied by the Nazis. They filled up wine bottles with kerosene and gasoline, put rags in them, stored them up, and then they went into the streets and threw them at German tanks and at German staff cars and in German Gestapo headquarters. Do you think the American people are willing to do anything like that? My answer to that is no. They're more interested in watching American Idol on television.
You know, the situation has gotten so bad that it's making Hillary Clinton look good.
Well, I said, if Palin becomes president, we'll all be waxing nostalgic for the good old days of George W. Bush. And I mean, is that how far we moved the goalposts? Apparently, that is how far they're planning to move it. And we know all about what the FEMA camps and Homeland Security and all these this shadow government and all this other stuff. You know, Bush might have put the list together of the enemies, his enemies, and the people to be taken away. Palin will implement it. Palin is the kind of person who will actually carry it out, where Bush can only have, you know, dreams about it. Palin, I'm afraid, could actually do it. And I think that should worry all of us.
She's pretty
scary. She's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. And but anyway, I see we got another caller. Ruth, thanks for calling in. And check in with us.
Enjoy your program.
Okay, check in with us again. Before we take the next call, I want to also play this one other clip of Sarah Palin. She's welcoming to Fairbanks, Alaska, a group called the Alaska Independence Party. And I'll talk a little bit about what they are and who they're linked to and what they represent. But if we have this a short clip of Sarah Palin.
I'm Governor Sarah Palin, and I am delighted to welcome you to the 2008 Alaskan Independence Party Convention in the Golden Heart City, Fairbanks. Your party plays an important role in our state's politics. I've always said that competition is so good, and that applies to political parties as well. I share your party's vision of upholding the Constitution of our great state. My administration remains focused on reining in government growth so individual liberty and opportunity can expand. I know you agree with that. We have a great promise to be a self-sufficient state made up of the hardest working, most grateful Americans in our nation. So as your convention gets underway, I hope that you all are inspired by remembering that all those years ago, it was in this same city that Alaska's Constitution was born. And it was founded on hope and trust and liberty and opportunity. I carry that message of opportunity forward in my administration as we continue to move our state ahead and create positive change. So I say good luck on a successful and inspiring convention. Keep up the good work, and God bless you.
Keep up the good work, yes. The work of the Alaska Independence Party is secession. It's to create in Alaska a domain for white people. Sarah Palin, her idea of Alaska, there are no native Alaskans playing a role. No Inuit, no Aleut, no Eskimo. And that's what we have in Sarah Palin. And just look at the links of this Alaska Independence Party. Go to their website and you see the link to groups like the League of the South, the Southern Caucus, the Southern Party of Georgia. You know what they want to do? They also don't like the Constitution of the United States. I mean, Palin talked about the Alaskan Constitution. What about the Constitution of the United States? These groups they're linked to, they want to restore the Confederate States of America, and we not certainly know what that's a code word for. Sarah Palin is not qualified to be governor of Alaska, in my opinion. She never once said anything about the U.S. Constitution. She harped on the Alaska Constitution, and she said she's inspired by the Alaska Independence Party. Of course she is. Anyway, let's go to Roy in Texas, who's been holding on, and hopefully Roy is Roy. You're on high ground, and you're high and dry from the effects of Ike.
Oh, yes, I'm definitely high and dry from the effects of Ike. I'm not really in any, have no reason to fear from that. But, the reason I was calling is you talked earlier, or you just briefly mentioned in passing, there was talk about, war with Iran. Now, in the Russian press, there are reports, and I don't know how much significance to attribute to any of this, there are reports that a lot of American main battle tanks are being unloaded into Afghanistan. And at least from what I've read, the tanks are really not that good for the terrain in Afghanistan. The only place where they could really be useful would either be inside of Pakistan or Iran. And apparently there's some speculation at this point as to what the intention is of moving all these tanks into Afghanistan.
Well, I can tell you there's all kinds of, you know, in the intelligence world, they call it indications and warning, and you just gave an indication of a potential operation against Iran. Of course, we know that the Treasury Department this last week brought sanctions against Iranian shipping companies. They don't want Iranian ships insured, for example. That sounds like an awful lot like the preliminary moves to put up a naval blockade around Iran. So yeah. They're there. The indications, the INW, the indications and warning are definitely there. Would they do it in October? Well, we all know about the quote-unquote October surprise, and I think that's the one thing that would could, you know, I mean, McCain looks at that as only helping him getting into a war, because what you'll see is all the Fox News bumper music and MSNBC and all these other networks, it'll be America at war. And then you got McCain. You know, I mean, it's all perception management. Unfortunately, the American people have shown they're willing to buy this stuff. They've shown it in the last two presidential elections. I have no reason to believe it. Things would be any different.
Yeah. I mean, it says here on Russia Today that more than 1,000 American tanks and armored vehicles had been shipped to eastern Afghanistan by Ukrainian Ruslan.
Right. Okay, Roy. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks for letting us know, and we'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup here on RBN. It's 54 after the hour. Before we spoke to Roy in Texas, I was mentioning the Alaska Independence Party. This group is part of this whole secessionist movement around the country. These are far right-wing individuals. Look, they're neo-Confederates. They're neo-Confederate. That's just another name for the Ku Klux Klan these days. They threw away the hoods and the white robes a long time ago. You see a bunch still around, but they're comic they're like cartoon characters. The ones who are the dangerous ones are the ones wearing the Brooks Brothers suits, who's in many cases are lawyers and lobbyists right here in the nation's capital. The Klan, a long time ago, the Klan figured out it's better to just wear the Brooks Brothers suits and carry the briefcase instead of wearing a goofy outfit out on the street. Anyway, let's quickly go to Dave in Massachusetts in the time we have left remaining. Dave, are you with us?
Yes, Wayne, I am. This is the first time I've ever tuned into your show, Wayne.
Oh, great.
Hey, can I make a little announcement here? If people go to war-crimes.info. Tomorrow is going to be the second day of the Justice Robert Jackson.
Right, I'm glad. Right, yes, and that's up in Andover, right?
Yes, I was there all day. Mark Anderson was there. RBN talk show host when worlds collide. Mark Anderson was there, and he's going to file a report with American Free Press. If you go to their homepage, yeah, they live stream it, so they'll be live streaming it tomorrow. But it was fantastic, and Vincent Bugliosi was there, and he was filled with righteous indignation, which I really enjoyed to see a man of his stature filled with righteous indignation. And it's not so much the war crime so much as he says it's a slam dunk case prosecuting George Bush for the murder of our soldiers.
Right, Dave. Could you give that website again? I have a link to it on WayneMattsonReport.com. But for people who want to go directly to that link, what was that link again?
Yes, war. I say that with my Boston accent, but war,
right,
is World War. You know, war. Hyphen or dash, you know, crimes dot
right.
info.
Okay. Well, I saw a little bit of it today on the live stream, video stream they ran. I heard part of Bugliosi's comments. I urge everyone to just, these are the conversations taking place up at the Robert Jackson the seminar. These are what the conversations several years ago we were having. Like, you could only have those conversations in a quiet place somewhere without people listening in, because we were all worried about Homeland Security maybe coming to round us up. But it's great that it's now in a forum like that, because these are war crimes. These are war criminals. And we're not talking about Belgrade, and we're not talking about Rwanda. We're talking about war criminals sitting right here in Washington, D.C. So that's a very important conference you're holding up there in Andover.
Oh, yeah, it was so interesting. There was a man there from the U.K., Philippe Sand.
Okay, Dave, we'll have to leave it there. Anyway, thanks for calling in. Good luck with the conference. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report. We will be joining you this same time next week on the Republic Broadcast Network. I hope we're still around this time next week. Anyway, thanks for joining us this evening.